This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Cowboy Nation, how the hell are you, Steve-O? What a great day, my friend.
Happy Halloween to you, Jono. Happy Halloween to producer Brian over there.
Trick or treat, baby.
Well, we went with the treat, and we had a couple of tricks mixed in there. I mean, I don't know if you watched the game. Ha ha, I know you did. But anyway, what a great, great win. I got a list of notes here. I think we got a full show just because I think this was the most realistic game that we've had since the Giants game. And really, throw the Giants game out because it was week one. You know, it's like a box of chocolates. We might stick with a Halloween theme today, but you never know what you're going to get in week one. But this the seventh game here, I think we really saw what the Cowboys are.
Yes, sir. I was very proud of them, and I know all the fans out there. You know, there were times during this game that I thought, you know what, maybe Dak made a deal with the devil, and it was only for seven games. And it seemed like this wasn't the same Dak in the first half. I was really worried. I mean, things that he was doing was very not Dak-like, and somehow, some way, the kid put it together. Late in the fourth quarter, and next thing you know, we got ourselves a win, and couldn't have happened to a more hated team like the Eagles. I can't stand those guys.
Exactly. But I'm glad you brought your laptop in because I'm going to be asking you some questions, look stuff up.
Fun. Make it simple.
Yeah. Hey, folks, this is a fan show. We don't sit out here at Cowboys practice at the Star. We don't watch a breakdown, a game
film.
We
would if we could, though.
Yeah, obviously we would. But we don't get to do any of that stuff. We're bringing you a real fan's perspective, much like you guys are out there.
This is very organic.
Yeah, it's grassroots, so to speak. But anyway, I'm glad you brought your laptop in, because the big thing I really want to know is the time of possession. So start working on that with those with those sausage fingers of yours, and we'll see if we can't get that pulled up. But happy Halloween, buddy.
Sausage fingers.
I know. So here's what I got, man. I probably made about 30 or 40 notes last night. It was a huge win. But as we go through these, and they might not be any particular order other than what I saw from first quarter through overtime with the win, but let's just go through some of these.
All right.
How strong is this Dak Prescott from us? I mean, I watched him move out of the pocket. It looked like he was going to get sacked several times, and he just kept eluding these defensive pass rush linemen, or even sometimes it was the cornerbacks, and shaking loose or breaking free and was able to throw the ball away. A couple times he threw it in, you know, some ill-advised throws, almost picked off. But for the most part, I mean, so strong.
Dude, he almost had two picks inside the red zone. If it wasn't for Terrence Williams and that crazy little mouthpiece he had on, we would have lost the ball again. He had to do a pass interference there, or we were throwing it right to a defender again.
Without a doubt. But like I said, I'm going kind of, as my notes go through here, first through fourth quarter, I didn't, you know, go ahead and put them in any particular order other than that. But, I mean, I just watched him roll out of the pocket, and there was a couple times these guys were, you know, hanging on the shoulder, around the waist, around the ankles, and either pulled loose or had enough strength to get that ball out and away. And I just think of some of these other quarterbacks that we've seen in the past that all of a sudden – you know, they get hit and they fall down like a sack of potatoes. That there's really – it doesn't take a whole lot of contact. So this guy's super, super strong. I love what he did yesterday from that standpoint. And that's what gets me excited about the future for our Cowboy team and what's going on this year.
There's no question about it. I love the way – these kids put it all together again, man.
Right.
Late into the game. And you know what? What a gutsy call. Giving it to Prescott right up the middle on a fourth and one, and then you had that free I mean, Free could have pushed him through a concrete wall right there, man, to get that 1 yard. But
absolutely, absolutely.
And that's, I call. And how many years in the past have we done that and we don't get the fourth down?
Right. And when you talk about that, that goes along. I know that happened late in the game. You know, it's further down in the notes, but I do have that. You know, we fell a little short on third and one. Elliott made a hell of a spin move at the end to make it really fourth and a couple of feet. But you give the ball to Dak. He's big and strong, and the offensive line really off the bat didn't get that great a push. It was kind of a dead heat, and then Free comes in behind him.
Speaking
and
of dead heat, time of possession, 33-57 for the Cowboys, 33-15 for the Eagles.
Wow. So, we talked about that, and we'll get to that time of possession a little bit, but I just like the way Dak, his strength – because I'm not sure you see that out of a lot of quarterbacks around the NFL, except for your bigger, your Roethlisbergers, your bigger quarterbacks like that. So that's an added dimension to go along with everything else he's bringing to the table.
But can I tell you this? Last night solidified that I think Romo's our quarterback. I really think that last night showed me that, you know what, Prescott still – is not 100% there. And I know people are going to get down on me, as well you should, but I'm saying to you, inside the 20, inside the 10, actually, he did give the ball up, and then he could have given the ball up again. Great play by Terrence. Way to use your brain. I mean, here's a guy that took a little bloodbath a couple weeks back on not running out of bounds. Terrence made it up. It was a great pass interference call that he made.
I agree with you. That Tony Romo is the 2016 quarterback to be. With the win last night, I think, and I think we've already heard it, you know, that Dak is going to go ahead and start against the Browns. Like I said, my prediction, I said this last week on the show, that this was Dak's game to win or lose. I think he was going to win. He was going to go into Cleveland, get the start. And depending on how Tony feels, I don't know if they're going to allow him to dress or not that game and be on the active roster. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he does. I mean, I guess we'll find out a little bit later on the week, or maybe they'll target that whole scenario for the Pittsburgh game. But the couple of rookie mistakes that Dak made were starting to show through this last game, against the Eagles. Yeah. And you're starting to see some things. And I'm at the point where we get down into the red zone, and I'm not 100% comfortable or confident that it's going to be a touchdown. And now with a couple of those balls that he was throwing, including the interception, that all of a sudden I start thinking about, well, let's just not turn the ball over down there around the goal line and get careless with it. So he had a short throw there to Dez where I think he had him open for a touchdown, and just kind of squeezed one off. So a couple of those mistakes.
That play that Dez made wasn't an easy play, too, that touchdown to tie the game up.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, Dez had to come back for it. It was a tough catch, and it fell our way. But I'd like to point out one thing. Our offensive line, I thought, did a real shitty job protecting Dak, too.
That's in here. It's on the rushing, okay, on blocking for the rush, okay? Pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah.
But all of a sudden, you get into this pass.
I thought Free was getting just blown off the ball. That speed was killing our guy on the right side, tackle.
And I think that's been a knock from the beginning, was the fact that, our line for a rushing play, outstanding. They like to get moving forward, get their hats on people and start pushing them out of the way. And then when they get into a passing situation, we had a little bit of a vulnerability. I think you might have seen a chink in the armor. I would have liked to seen Dak hit Beasley a little bit more on those quick shots, much like Wentz was doing. I mean, if you look, Wentz was just nickel and diming us all day long. I thought he played really good, but he didn't have any passes over 20 yards, where our quarterback does have that in his game plan.
On that point, too, I really think that we did not get any pressure on their quarterback until late in the game.
Yep.
I seen our defensive line. They were stifled. They couldn't get any pressure on. I mean, it's tough on DBs to do that type of coverage. And then you got to worry about the middle being open, too. So, you know what? I just thought our D-line, I even put it out there. I go, there is no D-line. We don't have a D-line right now. They're running the ball. They couldn't catch that little Sproles.
Oh, God. He is unbelievable. I'm surprised he only – I think he had somewhere right under 90 yards, 86 yards or something like that was his final stat line. From a rushing standpoint, it seemed like he had 130.
And stupid, and I'm going to use that word silly, stupid mistakes again on defense. Yes. Kind of like – what's that guy? Is that linebacker Hicks or whatever?
Hicks, yeah.
What the hell was he thinking, giving a shot like that to that guy? And then you had our guy – number 50,
Lee.
Yeah, I just won't bring that. But Lee just went over to him and goes, "What the hell are you doing, man? You can't do shit like that."
I know.
Honest to God, you can't.
We had three or four dumb penalties in there. We had a defensive holding penalty that cost us. We had the 12 men on the field on a punt. Realistically, we did have some stupid mistakes that kept them in the ball game.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? And that's how we've always been in the past when we blow games.
Yep.
We do stupid, silly mistakes, and Colleen brought that up last week. That's kind of been our crumble
right
on defense.
Hey, and folks out there in Cowboy Land, our women, she loves the Cowboys. Colleen, we're going to get her back on the second show of this week. Today we just had so much, and we kind of had to move the time around a little bit. So
yeah, we thought we may have Rob on the show. I don't know.
Yeah,
about
it was
that, so.
Moving some stuff around. But so Colleen will be with us hopefully Thursday's edition. But back to Dak, I just want to go on how much I enjoyed watching this game, just because there were some passes in there, and the tough passes. You know, a lot of people think the arm strength, okay, that 20-yard down the seam or the long out or whatever it might be that really needs it. Let me tell you what. All these guys have arms right now. They can all throw the ball hard. The hardest pass is that little flip pass, the one with touch that you got to get up over the defensive line and drop it in. And he had two or three with touch that just made me – I mean, I was salivating at the thinking about the future, what this guy can do. Along with the first touchdown that he had when he ran it in. You know, just a simple quarterback draw. It was a called play. I mean, this guy has the game. He has the tools that I think everybody, whether you're a Romo guy or a Dak guy right now going forward, I think everybody can agree.
I think we're all Cowboy guys, well, Cowboy people.
No, I mean, come on. You see the message boards. You're reading everything.
We want us to win,
but there's a lot of, you know, there was a lot of, hey, Tony's done. And then all of a sudden, for the first three quarters, or let me rephrase that, for like the second and third quarter last night and a little bit of the fourth, there's a lot of, well, this isn't really Dak's time yet. You know, and then that changed pretty quickly with what he did. But all around, the guy has strength, has size, he has a strong arm, he has touch.
I love when he runs out of there and gets us that big first down that we don't get out of Tony. And we don't, you know, maybe we don't expect that anymore out of Tony. But it is another dimension that we do have that Tony just doesn't have anymore.
Right. The only thing we're lacking right now with Dak is what Tony's best at, and that is the experience. Okay? So we saw some very – we saw a lot of rookie mistakes. All right.
I think perception is number one in Tony's book, that he can look at a wideout and then throw the other way in a flip of a switch, you might say. And I think Dak still like targets.
Yes.
He looks at that one particular receiver and he's going with that receiver. And I think defenses are not picking up to that.
Yep.
He doesn't switch it up. And I think that's really big on Tony's aspect of the game, where he can look at Dak 100 or not Dak. He can look at Dez 100% and then totally opposite, flip it to Witten.
That's amazing, and I'm glad you brought that up, because for the last couple of years I've always kind of, you know, imitated Tony where he's looking one way and he throws completely across his body to somebody else. I'm like, what in the hell was that?
Yeah,
he wasn't even looking
from
at the guy.
Yeah,
you know, and I mean, that can get you in trouble sometimes, but all in all, you know, I just think he needs a little bit more of that experience. And every game he gets to play, especially that we're winning and extending that NFC East lead, every game gets him that necessary experience that we're going to be able to build on. Whether whatever happens, you know, with the Romo Dak game plan going forward here.
And one more thing, Steve, on this that I really I can't tell you how much of a player Romo is, because they showed right immediately right after he threw that interception, and Romo's reaction, not a split second after that, he felt bad. He did not feel like, I got to act sad now. But
No. And this goes back to the whole, I still don't think there's a quarterback controversy. I really, truly believe that when you're suffering from an injury, this guy isn't 23. He's not coming back in, you know, 6 weeks from a torn ACL or a broken back. I mean, it takes time to heal. You're old. I'm old. You know, I'm not recovered.
Sausage fingers.
You know, it's your birthday today too. So yeah, it's happy birthday, Jono. Yeah, but anyway, it's one of those things where he is not going to heal as quickly as a 23, 24 year old kid might. So, you know, when you start targeting weeks to come back, I think you start looking at worst case scenarios, and that's why they always go, "Oh, it's 4 to 6 weeks." You know, hey, if we're in dire straits, if we're in the middle, if we're a 4-3 team, you know, coming off of a loss, Tony Romo's coming back 100% or not. You're 6-1, Tony Romo's still getting healthy. Let's get him healthy and take it from there. And that's all I have to really say about that. They targeted a time. It really doesn't play into anything until Tony says he's 100%, the club says he's 100%, and then we'll see what the play is. But you can't be disappointed with what we have in Dak Prescott.
No, I'm not disappointed, but I'm just saying to you, it really solidified to me that it's still Tony's team.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
No, absolutely.
And if anyone's out there that says, Dak, and you are 100% right as well, this is just what I've seen, and this is how I feel, that it's still Tony Romo's team. I really, honestly, God, would rather have my guy that's been there, that knows how to do it. And you know what? There's no shot on Dak because he gets this offense fired up. And Witten last night after the game, he said, you know what? We magnetized for this guy. I mean, we really get it going for this kid. And he gets everything going. So God bless, you know. We got something good over there. But, again, we can't have silly goddamn mistakes. That's our problem. That's really been our problem throughout years when we play good teams, when we start making mistakes, and it turns around and bites us.
Yeah, and it did. They scored a couple of times off of those mistakes on us. You know, we skated out of Green Bay after a big mistake, and, you know, got that win. We were able to get the win on this one. So here's a question for you. I know that bye week got us healthy, okay? I think Barry Church got nicked up last night. Claiborne might be dealing with something. He might have got nicked up in there. But all in all, coming out of the bye week, was it a good time for a bye after seeing this? Or do you think it might have cooled us down there for a couple of two quarters in there?
I think that's a great point. I think it did cool us down the first after the first quarter. We eased up thinking, hey, you know what? This is going to be like a regular win again. We're going to roll over teams. And Eagles said, no, you're not going to roll over us. We've been around. We know how to play you guys. And second, third quarter, up to, I'd say, about the 7-8 minutes mark of the third quarter, I think the Eagles were showing they're real dominant. And then we just started coming back on again.
Yeah, I think when I looked at it, when I watched the game, I liked what the Eagles did by moving Wentz out of the pocket early and get him on the move. I think that slowed down that pass rush
quite
a bit.
But also, that was his falter, too, because once he starts doing that, we're much more able to get to him.
Yeah, but he nickeled and dimed us all day long. Everything was positive yardage on that. You know, I won't say everything. There were some plays that we blew up. I mean, some great defensive plays. But, you know, all of a sudden, it's a three-yard pass. And Sproles catches it, runs for another three, you know, or whoever it might have been that they were throwing to. It was one of those things where they controlled the ball methodically went down the field, and I mean methodically. It was, you know, brutal at times because we just couldn't get our defense off the field. They went down, nickel and dimed us. I liked the way Wentz was playing from the surface. But when you dig into it a little bit more and you see that he's really, I mean, it's probably yards per attempt was, you know, somewhere in that 8 to 10 range. You know, he's not throwing anything down the field. And, you know, one of those things where you're like, man, is that really the style offense you want? Now, when they got in that hurry up, they really confused the crap out of us defensively. They got in that hurry up, and I would love to see the Cowboys do more of that. We started doing a little bit more in the fourth quarter. We got in that hurry-up mode, and I think that's a game-changer. I mean, you see it in the NFL week in and week out where these teams come in, and it's, you know, they get to that two-minute drill or the four-minute drill, and they start hurry-up offense, and all of a sudden they march down the field like it's no problem.
You know who I'm not going to let off the hook this week also is our special teams. I thought they did a horrible job. I thought our kickoff team was horrible in the sense that they couldn't bring down this guy. And horrible on the notion that our kicker can't kick it deep into the end zone.
Are you looking at my notes?
No, but that's what I thought.
No. And I agree with you. Listen, they keep changing the rules, all right? It was touchback. 20-yard line. Hey, move them back. We want more action on the kickoff. And I'm going back years past, folks. You know, so we're going to move the kickoff back, and we want them to come out. Uh-oh, we got a concussion issue. Let's move the kickoff up. Everybody's kicking the end zone, so let's reward them for that. Let's move it out to the 25 instead of the 20. Listen, well, give them the ball on the 25. Kick it out of the end zone.
Right.
You have to be able to do that. I don't like
– he normally does that. I don't know why he gave a big loft shot right to the one-yard line or to the goal line, and I'm thinking, God, you don't want this guy to bring it out.
Right. It jammed us up a couple of times. And Chris Jones, our punter, he's a hell of a punter.
Oh,
but let me tell you what. I know this Donnie Jones. Get ready for your shot from his days with the Rams.
Oh, take a shot, folks.
Take a shot. Hey, this guy – he's all world, too, and he's kicking the ball 55, 65 yards, getting good bounces.
No, I got it.
Those guys, brothers, both Joneses, both lefties.
Oh, how about
that?
Forget all that. The one thing that he did do was outrageously beautiful was when he took off with the ball.
Oh, my God.
That special teams play might have overlooked everything that they did wrong yesterday.
Perfect. So there's your trick or treat, right? We had a couple of tricks out there. Okay, folks, I pointed this out early in the season. We had, and I forget which game it was, we had an onside kick for no reason. Okay, it was like early in the game, and it might have been against the Giants or game two. We had an early.
I remember that. I forgot which game.
And there's no reason to fire that bullet in week one or week two, because guess what? Now they got film on it. But when you're in a divisional battle and it's a close game, they might not be able to run that for the rest of the year, the punter sneaking that ball out and getting 30 yards. They might not be able to do it, but it was critical at that point of the game to move the ball. We were in the tight ball game. That's when you use your trick plays. That's when you use your Beasley, former high school quarterback, throwing the ball over the top to Terrence Williams. When you need it, you don't bring that play out because these guys then they plan for it.
Right.
That's what they have these coaches out there. That's why they have film. You're not going to fool anybody anymore if you bring it when you don't need it. That's why they all run vanilla offenses in the preseason so they don't give away the real playbook.
No, I totally agree with that. And, we don't want to do that too many times. But the obvious mistakes also, again – on the special teams, Whitehead, why are you catching the ball on the 4-yard line on a punt? Let that ball go through. And you know what? Once you caught that ball, we had a defensive holding on there. We're on our 1-yard line, 1 or 2-yard line then. You know how difficult it is to get out of there? What you've done is you pinned us back, and they did score a touchdown after that too.
Right.
So the point is, let that damn thing go. Let that ball go. Whatever happens, if they get a bounce, they get a bounce. But for you to catch it on the 4-yard line, that's like the monk's rule that you don't do that. You just don't do that. You let that damn thing go. Get away from the ball.
I agree with you. So, you know, and we got lucky. He had one where it lucky got lucky.
Jones was the only positive thing with that run that might have just kept special teams off the film all day for today for the Cowboys. Because I tell you what, they did not look good. Our special teams did not look good, and they had penalties. They got too many holdings. Come on, folks. That's why we got you part of the special teams, and we didn't get you there for holding either, you know. And that big run by Elliott, though, that God.
Boy, that one came all the way back, huh? That was our
But again, every play, even the announcer said, every play is a holding in the NFL. I don't know what the hell they call that a hold for. You see it every time.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right, so let's throw another one out for you to discuss here. Once again, folks, here's the deal. I want to throw out the last – we'll talk about the last 7 minutes of the game in overtime later on here in the show. I want to talk really about that the first, you know, 38 – 40 minutes, whatever it was, of the game. There was no Witten, very little Terrence, very little Beasley, very little Dez.
Actually, he was only looking at two receivers the entire time. It was the other quarterback for Eagles that he was the one looking at all the receivers. Yeah. He had eight looks at all different receivers there.
No, absolutely. I felt like through three and a half quarters that – really, Wentz outplayed Dak, and it was, you know, we weren't getting, you know, a ton of running, you know, our normal what we've had in the last 5 weeks running. We had to grind it out a little bit more, but it just seemed like the offensive line wasn't giving us enough time for Prescott to make those throws. And when he did, did you feel like the chemistry of the receiving core and the quarterback was a little thrown off with Dez coming back?
No, I don't see that at all. I just think that the Eagles just had way too much pressure for Dak to sit there and just dissect the defense like he has in the past. I think we faced a real good defensive line this time that didn't give him the opportunity to kick back and check out every receiver like he normally has for last 5-6 weeks.
Right. That's I'll buy that.
I just do not think that.
I felt like Philly was loading up the box, getting after us.
Oh, yeah, they were definitely.
And they were going to be stop the run first, stop Zeke first, and make Prescott beat you with his arm. They had pretty good contain for most of the game. Obviously, he had his, you know, Dak is going to get his rushing yards if you flush him. He's going to get out. But I guess the big thing was, to me, there was no Beasley. He wasn't getting checked down early. But I do remember early on in the game that Dak hit Dez, and that's hard to say. Dak hit Dez for a significant gain. I forget what, 40-yarder or whatever it was. And I really thought that was going to soften up Philly from putting eight men down in the box. But it didn't, man. They just kept coming at us. And I would have liked to seen him through quarter two and three go up over the top a little bit more and try to get that play to hold that defensive line from pinning their ears back and getting after us, getting after Dak and Zeke.
I think you're right on it. You're right on everything on that. And that one big play that I liked was when we were tied at 23-23. I think it was the 12-13-minute mark. And he just sat in the pocket, Dak did, and he found Beasley for like a 25-30-yard to the right side, and that to me said, you know what, we're for real. This kid's for real, and he can play. And I think it just took him a while to adjust to that type of defense, a real aggressive defense.
Absolutely, and I think I know you're watching some plays on your computer. It's an amazing watching some of that stuff, but you know, all in all, I just. You know, it was a little bit of not him having the time and not really checking down quick enough to soften up that defensive rush. And that's really where, you know, we got to come up with a different game plan, whether it's get into, you know, a quicker tempo, get something up going up over the top. I know they tried that trick play with Beasley, you know, with the little
– Man, he had him, too.
He had him, yeah, step and a half on him. You know, that would have been a great play. But you know, for the most part, I just didn't, you know, I think Beasley only had like one catch through three quarters. Witten only had one catch through three quarters. Terrence only had like one catch through three quarters. And then all of a sudden, fourth quarter, 8-10 minutes left, you see what they're able to do. You know, and he started spreading the ball around when it was crunch time. And that's why I said we'll talk about that part a little bit later. I just wanted to get on, I think, the sentiment that you were on for the first 3.5 quarters. You really could see where
he was having a hard time picking up the aggressive D because they were shooting gaps. They were shooting ends, and he just wasn't. And then when he settled down, he got it going. You know, I'm not ripping on Dak at all. He's learning. I think he's going to be not just a good quarterback, but he may be an elite quarterback in the NFL. He's picking all this up, and he picked that up during the game. It wasn't like 2, 3, 4 games down the line that he picks this up. He picked that up during the game. So God bless.
Yep, absolutely. So I want to touch on a couple of things as we go through here. Once again, our defense comes up with a crucial turnover at a big time during the game.
Yeah, was that like the fourth quarter, 12-minute mark, something like that?
They put in a third-string running back, and immediately we pop the ball out and hop on it.
I think that could have been the turning point, man.
Absolutely. It definitely, you know, gave us the life that we needed.
Yeah.
So that was huge. And the other thing that, folks, when you're watching this, when you're watching a game, and this might be the only insider thing I ever really say of importance, you see how Dez catches the football. He catches it with his hands. I think they call that he high points it, right? He gets it at its highest point where he jumps up there. But he does not let that ball get into his body. I think you saw Jordan Matthews a couple of times. You saw Doriel Green Beckham for the Eagles. You saw Aguilar for the Eagles. They all let that ball get up into their body, and they had several drops. Wentz, I tell you, I think his completion percentage was off the charts. He didn't miss very many throws. These guys had a bunch of drops. But Dez goes out there with his hands. Folks, when you're watching this game next week, okay, just watch how he goes and catches the ball with his hands. He doesn't let it get into him. And that's the difference between a great receiver. I know a lot of them do that. A.J. Green, you know, Julio Jones, all your big-time receivers usually get them big mitts out there and grab that ball. And if you've never had a chance to find a pair of those gloves that these receivers play with, you'll understand why you should catch it with your hands and not with your body. Those things are like your old Stick'Em days. What'd you wear, those old Newman gloves when you played? Those tack gloves?
I had the black gloves that looked like the UFC leather.
You're a lineman. You weren't a skill position.
Well, I was a linebacker.
You weren't a skill position. You didn't have to catch it.
I think
it.
The linebacker's a skill position.
Well, I mean, if you like taking a punch,
what the hell
is a
do you
skill.
Want? What kind of a defenseman do you like there?
Come on.
I gave the call, then. I had to leave me alone.
All right. So that was huge. I just wanted to kind of point that out from what Dez does.
You know, another thing that you haven't talked about was Elliott. Since those two fumbles, he has not – I mean, they're going after the ball on this
kid. Damn it.
Yeah, I hit another
you
one.
Don't, no, you don't talk about that. It's like talking about a no-no in the seventh inning.
Wait a minute. I just
the guy
said that he's guarding it really well
the
now.
The guy hasn't fumbled in 8 weeks, and all of a sudden you went, oh, he hasn't fumbled it.
Oh, that's better, not how I said that. I said
knock on wood
on that. But I said that he's really guarding the ball. They're really attacking the ball on him, and while he's still chopping, and he's got that legs moving, and boom, you know, he's got the legs moving, and they're still trying to fumble the ball, and he's hanging on. It's been really well.
And it is a target. I mean, if you watch these guys, they get into the scrums in there, and I mean, they are going after it. So the kid's got – he's got man strength, right? But more importantly, he's a beast. He might be the new –
Feed me.
He might be the NFL's new beast mode. It used to be Marshawn Lynch up there in Seattle. I mean, Elliott is looking for contact. He gets beyond that
and
initial.
He's faster, too, than Lynch.
Yeah.
Lynch just, you know, he's like a Sherman tank. He'll just run you over. But this guy's more like, I can outrun you as well.
He gets into the second level, and he wants to lower the boom on somebody. And, I mean, he lights them up.
Oh, it was beautiful.
He's beast mode for sure. But, yeah, all in all, Unbelievable what he's done in ball security. We didn't get the 100 yards this week, right? What was his final tally?
Who the hell cares? So, let me check that up.
He's watching. Folks, this guy's in here watching game highlights on here. He's got the computer.
Oh, I am not. I'm watching great plays here.
And he expects me to keep the conversation going. He's watching a game on rewind, man. You're killing me, Jono. Killing me. But there's one more guy I wanted to get to for the Cowboys. And he is a bad man. Tyron Smith.
Oh, God.
What is he? He looks like the guy from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, he looks like one of those, Battlestar Galactica, what were they called?
I don't know, man. I don't watch sci-fi.
Cylons. Yeah, they were the Cylons. They wore the silver. I mean, God, he's a badass.
He might have, it almost looks like he has a 23-inch waist and a 56-inch shoulder.
Oh, dude, he's built like a tank.
It's unbelievable. And, I mean, they kept highlighting. And I know everybody, the best thing about the Cowboys is when they're good, they are prime time all the time, right? They get the best game times. But to watch him and just they highlighted him pretty good last night, and he just mauled these guys, manhandled them. And he's ginormous. We got to meet him. We got to have you go up against him one-on-one.
What?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to see you get mauled by a bear.
You would like that, wouldn't you?
Good stuff.
Thank you.
So, sorry, folks. We digress.
I had a Twix in my mouth as he's saying this, so that's what we're laughing about, too.
Absolutely. So, did you notice that the
– No.
No, you didn't.
No, go
that
ahead.
That crew, I mean, they throw a crap load of penalties.
Oh, yeah.
The flags are flying all over the place out there.
But you know what? In all righteousness, I don't even know if
that's not even what you're trying to say, but let's go with it.
I think they did the right calls. I think that they were calling the right calls on that because, you know what? Well, it seemed like everything that we were doing out there, there was a block in the back. There was a hold. So, hey, we can blame the refs all we want. I guarantee you there's a team out in Oakland, the Raiders, that had 23 penalties against them. Every play was a penalty.
23 accepted penalties. So they probably had probably 30.
I watched that game,
so
too.
The one I watched the London game. What do you think these Brits are thinking?
Why are you watching that? That was a gross game.
No, it was actually a good game. Oh. But there were I thought there was a stretch in there. There was like five or six penalties in a row. And I kept thinking these people over in London are thinking, boy, this is no fun to watch. And they're quiet over there. They're soccer people,
yeah,
obviously.
Know.
So they're quiet over there. There's not a whole lot of crowd. It almost sounds like, you know.
Why were there so many Cincinnati Bengal fans there? I'm watching everyone have a Cincinnati Bengal. I didn't know what the hell that was all about. They had a little Cincinnati Bengal flag, and they're waving it. And
They promote all the teams over there.
They had more loyalty towards the Bengals in London than they do in Cincinnati.
Well, you know, there's nothing good in Cincinnati, right?
Hey, dude, that's my baseball team.
I know. I say that on purpose. Uh-huh. But, no, they had a bunch of penalties over there, and I could only think of that the only thing that they were missing in Wembley Stadium is when a guy got a penalty is somebody flopping on the ground and the little stretcher running out and picking him up and carrying him off. So it could be like a real soccer match.
Yeah, yeah.
So other than that, man, what else did you notice from the game?
Well, let's see here. I definitely noticed that this game was much even than I thought it would be. I really thought the Eagles were not up to the Cowboy standard, you might say, but definitely the Eagles looked like and they played like old Eagles, you know. The line was only 4 or 5.
Yeah, I mean,
we
four and
covered.
A half.
We covered, but it took overtime to pull it off.
Right.
Normally, you would need a field goal to pull something like that off, so we got kind of lucky there.
Right, so I think I took 27-17.
I think, wasn't
Colleen took...
Wasn't she really close,
she
Colleen?
She took 23, so she was 23.
She was right 29, there. So she would, yeah. Colleen looked a lot better.
And that's
than
why
I.
She's our insider. That's why she's the professor.
Professor.
So now we miss her on the show this week, that's for sure. But I mean, I know it's a little early, and
dude,
you'll give us some.
I got her something too, by the way.
I know. What'd you get? You want to break it down?
Yeah, I'll let everyone right. know. I got her. One of our people out there who's a big time cowboy distributor. I told him what I want, and I got it sent to me, and it's a Jones, our DB, 16x20 picture of him with his signature on it.
Wow.
Yeah, it should be in the mail in a couple of days, and I'm going to send that off to her.
I really wish you liked me. Maybe I could get something.
I gave you a hat, didn't I? And you said I got sausage fingers, and then you said my defensive people are all Village Idiot cavemen almost.
You gave me a dirty hat. It has a smudge on it, like you were changing oil in it.
It was a brand new hat. I only wore it twice. Gave me a headache. It was tight.
It is a little tight, but you got a fat melon, too.
It's a small hat. Oh, God.
So,
hey, you didn't tell them about my big picks, though, did you?
I know that you hit on two, and it was one was a laydown gimme, and I know you hit on this game, and I know it's a little early, but is there anything that's grabbing?
Well, actually, if you guys are listening and did not catch last week's show, I gave my BetDSI.com plays, which was tonight, precludes our last of our three-game parlay, and that is the Minnesota Vikings. I think they're going to roll all over the Bears. I just don't see Bears doing anything. And if you get on BetDSI.com, folks, go to the right-hand corner. You'll see a little promotion. Hit Boys 10. Boys 10, you hit Boys 10, and you get $10, and it shows BetDSI that we have all these people that we're bringing on board to their betting site. And make sure your state's legal and all that good stuff. But you know what? It's a great place to go to check out odds and all that. We were once 35-1 to win the Super Bowl. I think now it's gotten to 15-1, believe it or not.
Well, we're looking awfully good, and standings-wise, we're two games clear right now.
Can you say we're the best team in the NFC?
I say we're the best team in the NFC.
Who the hell is there?
Nobody's really kind of shown and stepped up and really taken any more control other than the Minnesota Vikings, and I don't trust them because they have Sam Bradford.
Right.
And I don't like him as a quarterback. I don't.
No, they're not good.
They got a great defense.
They'll have enough to beat the crap out of the Bears tonight. But as overall look to it, I don't see the Minnesota Vikings. You've seen what the Eagles did to them last week,
yeah,
or the week before. I mean, honest to God, it's not that good of a team. I mean, they're all right. They're all right. They're a good team, but they're not a great team. We will have a showdown, my friends. The Cowboys will meet New England Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Are we going to that?
We're going to the Super Bowl.
Are we going to go to that?
We're going to go to the Super Bowl. I'm going to tell my wife I'm going to the lodge to go fishing or something. And me and you, babe.
In Houston. Wow.
And I'm sure as soon as all the pictures of Facebook post up with me and you and wearing our cowboy hats and painting our faces.
Wait a minute. Cowboy hats or cowboys hats?
How about both?
Okay.
I think there'll have to be a night that we have to wear a cowboy's hat, too.
Or cowboy hat.
Or cowboy hat.
Oh, the semantics that we got going on here.
I've never wore boots, by the way. Have you?
Oh, I got two pairs.
You got two pairs?
They're unbelievable.
Really? They look so damn uncomfortable.
No, they're very comfortable.
Really?
Matter of fact, any of our cowboys.
Well, what do you do with that sharp point, though?
I mean, the roach killers?
Well, no, I mean, do your feet all squirm up like a little burrito there?
Well, listen here, Fred Flintstone feet.
Oh, what the hell? You call me Fred Flintstone feet? Those are normal feet.
Mine are thin. They fit in it just perfectly.
Dude, I'm telling you, these people that are listening, they probably look at me like the Elephant Man now. Sausage fingers. Fat feet.
Fat head.
Get out of here.
We're on a roll today.
Yeah, you really
No,
are.
Cowboy boots are the way to go. I think they really actually help your feet. And correct me if I'm wrong. Hey, send us a Facebook message. I think medical doctors.
Yeah. Tell them wear boots. Get
say,
out of here.
Wear cowboy boots.
Oh, for love.
It fixes
God.
Everything. Okay. Plantar fasciitis, acne, anything you can think of.
The cowboy boots.
Cowboy boots. Yeah. Wear them. It'll fix you.
Great.
Yeah, I all in all, though, I'm happy where we're at, obviously, 6-1, and going to Cleveland next.
Well, I think that's a great play for us. I think for sure we'll be 7-1 after that.
Yeah, well, you're going out on a limb there?
7-1,
okay,
yes.
So here's the deal. In football, this is what's called a trap game.
Well, there's no trap about it. For
yes, this
God,
is what it's called.
Again.
Because
dude,
you got.
I'm glad you never worked a suicide hotline or something. You know, you're horrible.
Hey, take 2 weeks off and quit, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
No, this is a trap game because you're looking ahead to Pittsburgh the following week, right? We go
not
Cleveland and Pittsburgh. Look at the schedule.
Yeah, I know, but not the Cowboys. I really think that they're really focused. They know they have to. They have to be like one, two games up on the NFC East. It's a tough division right now. Everyone's winning in the NFC East. I really think that they're just trying to keep that format going. I don't think that they'll overlook Cleveland at all.
No. That's why it's a trap game, because subconsciously they overlook Cleveland. And hopefully somebody has a foot up on their ass to make sure they're focused on one day at a time, one game at a time, one series at a time.
The spread's 7.
Well, early spread 7. Okay, we'll see where that moves to. But I'm telling you, this is a classic trap game. So they better bring their A game and be ready to go.
Oh, I think we're going to kill them.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything trapping here.
I mean, this is where you got to put your...
Maybe Martin's going to be trapping that nose guard, and Elliott goes for 20, 30 yards. That's the only trap.
This is where you need to put Elliott in as your daily fantasy pick.
Yeah, I really think he's going to have a big game here.
He could have a very, very big game here. And I would, you know, for that matter, I don't know if I'm putting Dak in as my daily fantasy, because I think he's going to feed the beast and just let him run.
How the hell did we lose to the damn Giants? 20-19 pissed me off. Those guys are horrible. Now.
Live in the present. Live in the present here.
More
live
Larry
in the moment.
Cheese. More Larry Cheese.
Yep. So we have that. And then we have Pittsburgh after that, right?
Right.
And then that's where, you know, I guess the rubber meets the road somewhere in these next 2 weeks as far as what's going to happen with Romo. He obviously had some throwing practice. He thinks he feels pretty good. So, I like I said, my call, I think, is I would love to see him active in uniform, maybe listed as a number 3 quarterback, and then all of a sudden get us about a 21-point lead on Cleveland and have him come in.
I don't want that. I want whichever quarterback starts to finish it out Cleveland because the fact I don't want Romo to go in and throw a couple incomplete passes or interception. Next thing, we knew it. This guy can't do anything right anymore. Dak's our guy. Let him start the game. Let him finish the game. It's only proper.
No. We disagree there, my friend.
I don't want to say a preseason bullshit.
Oh, come on. That's the only way to play it.
That's not the – no.
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. If you're asking me, I'm not doing it.
Okay, so what else you got up there with the NFC East? Anything?
Well, I don't know about the NFC East, but I do know about our podcast, CowboysPodcast.com, folks, /Amazon. Go to CowboysPodcast.com/Amazon. Do all your shopping on Amazon, and we get a little love back from Amazon. And we love to have you guys shop on Amazon. Everyone wants a little love.
Absolutely. You got to get on there. Get on our podcast site, though. You got to go through our podcast site.
Of course. With CowboysPodcast.com/Amazon, you could go right to Amazon right there, and you could shop away. Or if you'd like to check out past episodes of me picking games and me and Steve talking about our great Cowboys and everything that comes along with this great show, we got past episodes for you to check out. And on the right hand side, you can click on Amazon right there as well and shop away on Amazon. You can't beat it.
Absolutely. I know we're looking forward to a couple of nice games coming up. Shout out to our blogger Rob Dobb up there.
Oh my God, he's taking off.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Now he's a little preoccupied right now with the Cubs. I mean, he was folks.
Well,
I'm telling you,
soon be over.
He was on overload last night. The Cubs. I mean, I don't know what happened, but I'm sure he didn't make it to his teaching job today, just because Cubs win a tight one. The Cowboys come back in overtime and win.
Right.
I'm watching both of those games.
I didn't. I watched the Cowboys.
Well, I'm watching the Cowboys, but
I,
you know,
I didn't watch any World Series. I don't care about World Series. I only care about my Cowboys.
Well, I mean, just because you're a Reds fan. So the Cardinals.
So what? So what? Cowboys are my favorite, though.
Yeah, but the Cardinals in me, the Cardinal fan in me, wants to see the Cubs lose.
We're going
to
see a Rams or a Cardinal somewhere.
Gosh, folks, now you know why I want him to go to a haunted house and, like,
get killed
by a ghost or something like this. I mean, this is what I'm dealing with. All day, every day.
Well, I didn't see you coming with us.
I was in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
I was doing a little investigatorial, is that even a word? Work?
I'm still trying to get over my words that I didn't
I was doing some observation down there.
Observation he was doing.
Absolutely. So, no, Cowboys Podcast, follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Cowboys Podcast.
And
follow us on Facebook, like our Facebook page.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Cowboys Podcast.
See, you folks don't understand. More people we get on Facebook that like our page, then when we try to get these big-time guests, we go, well, look at us on Facebook, sir. And when they see like 20, 30, 40,000, you know, they're going to say, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's where it's at. Like Colleen, she's got like 20,000 and growing. That's respect.
Absolutely. Follow me on Facebook or friend me on Facebook. Let's be friends. I'm Steve-O Jones on Facebook. Jono, I don't even know if you're not a Facebook guy, are you?
I am, but you know what? I got my personal page. It's my personal page. I throw in some other stuff with it, and you guys may not like my thoughts and all that. I don't know. I throw in the people and those poor Indians being attacked by those
the pipeline.
Yeah, I'm for those Indian people. You know, God,
we're Native American.
Yeah. I feel sorry for them. You're digging a pipeline through their water and stuff. For the love of God, when's it going to end? That's a different show, though.
Yeah. So on that, we're here at lineupmedia.fm, and we have a slew of shows. You run a couple of other shows, podcast shows, right?
Yes, I do. And, you know, it's one's about baseball, Bleacher Bums podcast. And the other one is something, maybe on the social basis, a little bit craziness. And I got some people on there that are.
And what's that one called?
I don't want to talk about that one. I don't want my fans to check that one out. So.
Well, you can check it out. You can find them at lineupmedia.fm. I also run Two Birds on a Bat, which is a Cardinal baseball one podcast. And then I'm also a guest usually on Youth Baseball Talk a lot with our good friend Jimmy Cromer. So he does a hell of a show there. But we got a great lineup out there. If you like podcasts,
I heard they're going to be doing something pretty soon with our shows. They're going to be starting to go places in cars and stuff. So.
Nationally. So that's big time. We got BetDSI out there. So
BetDSI, check that out, and also
Cowboys podcast homepage.
Yeah,
and click on the Amazon box.
Yeah.
All right, so you got any picks for us this week early? You feel good about the Cowboys in Cleveland?
The Cowboys in Cleveland. That's next week. This week, though, if you didn't catch my last week's show, I definitely was all over Minnesota taking on the Bears tonight, and I still am. I think the Bears are going to get trounced. I got 18 people out here, 18 players out. I really like Minnesota to win over 5.5. I looked for this being a 10-15-point game. So I look for Minnesota tonight. And Thursday night, I love Atlanta in the over on this one. They're taking on Tampa Bay. So if we do our show, when's our next show?
Thursday.
So you know what? I don't even know why I gave that to you then. But
no, it's good though. Just in case, because it usually gets out around late afternoon, the show. So if somebody didn't have a shot to get it,
and that's BetDSI, my friends. Get on BetDSI. Show us some love, and you couldn't ask for anything more than what our Cowboys did last night. So God,
moved to 6-1.
Yeah.
First place, 2 games clear in the NFC East. Obviously, we control our own destiny. Just keep winning, baby. Yeah, that's all you got to do.
And so, we'll definitely have Colleen on Thursday.
Yep.
She'll give us a scoop on Cleveland, on how we match up with Cleveland. And
she's
going to be great.
And I'm sure she has a slew of notes like we did coming into today that we needed to get through. And but we want fan interaction out there, folks. If you're friends with us or you follow our page out there, Hit us up, tweet us. Get some questions out to us. If you want to come on a show, you're a big-time Cowboy fan. We usually do them Mondays and Thursdays. Set some time aside. You know, direct message me at Steve O. Jones, and let's talk. And
on Facebook, too. I mean, we know you guys love the Cowboys. When you message us and say, I love my Cowboys, and we know that, or you wouldn't be messaging. But I'm just saying, give us a couple questions here and there, because all these messages that we're getting is about them loving the Cowboys. We get that. We all love the Cowboys.
So. Everybody's on fire right now. I know we're up against our hour here in the studio.
That's about it.
It's a great show. I mean, we could go on for days about this.
No, we don't want to go on for days. You'll talk about my sausage finger. From Jono and Steve-O.
We got Brian on the board over there. Thanks, Brian, for being here and helping out. Cowboys are 6-1, first
Check
place in the
Thursday.
NFC.
Thursday,
we'll see you.
All right.
Go, boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.